You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Leaving work in a mood? Time to change that with Overdrive.
Honestly, I feel like DiCaprio right after Titanic came out.
I can't see the jacket. I thought you were going to say you felt like DiCaprio right when he slid off the door into the water.
See you later.
I'll always remember you. Take care.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you're a pigeon that paints pictures on a boat. I'm going for some cash.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, will join us in just a few moments. We'll look back on the weekend in the Stanley Cup playoffs and start looking ahead to Game 7 tomorrow night. Leafs Bruins in Boston, third time in the past 6 years. And, you know, we started the show talking about the mood swings in the city, and every 48 hours it's changed. Yeah. And after Game 1, people were buzzing, feeling great. Through Game 2, people were feeling quite pessimistic and skeptical. Right. Game 3, the Leafs win. The parade's back on. Everyone's having a great time.
No team's won two in a row.
No one's won two in a row. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, all these stats are coming out. All the trends are coming out. I don't think it means anything once the puck drops tomorrow night. Because it doesn't matter that the Leafs haven't won three games on the road in a playoff series since 1951 or whatever it is.
Nope.
How many teams have done that? Doesn't matter that Brad Marchand, when he scores, they're like 20-1 lifetime in the playoffs. That's an incredible stat.
It speaks to score.
Don't let him score. But even if he does, it doesn't mean you just pack up your bags and go home.
No, because it could be the one outlier. Like you have to go through this process, and I know it's emotional for everyone right now, and there's revisionist history, there's all sorts of things, but you gotta allow it to play out. The unfortunate part is the anxiety leading up to it. As a fan base, as the players, I guarantee you, you've played in scenarios like that, Game 7s, and I've been a part of them. I backed up, but I've been a part of them. The hardest part is just getting to the puck drop. Really, it's
everything leading up
to. Everything leading up to is the distractions, the media, the fans, if you've got family that are calling. And once the puck drops, you control your own fate. I mean, to a point. And I think that's the hardest part, is to get there. These players have to get to tomorrow night without getting in their own minds. Easier said than done, because...
Well, how does that happen to the Bruins? Like, this is where I think Leaf fans are so scarred, so jaded. How could you picture the Bruins possibly, you know, bending their brains into submission?
I'll tell you.
Between now and tomorrow night.
An off night from Tuukka Rask.
No, that's in the moment.
Okay.
I'm saying between now and puck drop tomorrow night, I have to believe the Bruins are saying, we're in a great spot. We got these guys again. And even if we're down 4-1 with 11 minutes left, they're going to choke it away and we're going to take it from them.
Okay.
So I don't see how the Bruins are going to be anything but cool, calm, and collected between now and 7 p.m. The Maple Leafs, I don't see how they can be cool, calm, and collected. They're the team with all the pressure. It's a rarity where the home team, I don't think the Bruins have any pressure on them.
I think they do, though.
I don't think they've got any pressure.
But they may not have pressure from what we see in Toronto. They've got pressure from 100. They tied for second in the National Hockey League in points, 107 points. They had a fantastic season, just like the Leafs, who had 100 points. There's pressure from that organization.
Yeah, they have expectations.
I talked to one of their head scouts last night. He's like, man, we haven't played very well. I don't know. This is a coin flip. Like, there's pressure, but it's not from. It's just because they've had success. That's what you're saying.
Well,
right?
I think, you know, every pro athlete, every team has pressure.
Right.
Clearly. The Vegas Golden Knights have pressure. Right. They've been in the league for 2 years. They went to the Cup Final last year. Do they have pressure? Yes. Do they place their own pressure on themselves? Of course they do. That's what makes athletes so special.
Right.
They have a drive, and they have a fuse that they light themselves.
Yep.
But the Bruins, in the past decade, have been to two Cup Finals. They've won a Cup. Every year they get through the first round. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, no, I see what you're saying.
They have a reputation of being winners. They have a reputation of being a team that gets it done.
Right.
afterwards, they'll face pressure if they lose.
Right.
If they lose, there's going to be heat from within that market. What went wrong? Why didn't this happen? Why didn't you get the job done?
No, I see what you're saying.
The Leafs are the team that haven't won a playoff series in 15 years, that choked away Game 7 last year, that choked it away 6 years ago. I don't think it's even close in terms of the pressure.
I see what you're saying.
I don't think it's even close.
I see what
the Leafs have not achieved a thing. The Bruins have.
I guess the only way I was heading is the expectation maybe is a lot different from those Bruins players and from that market because they expect it out of them.
Sure.
So yes. That's where here people are like, well, here we go again. Like if they end up losing tomorrow night, what's the narrative?
Well,
here we go again.
They cannot win.
Who couldn't get it done? What's happened with this? I get it, but you're right. In just taking a step back and looking at it, heading into tomorrow's game, that's probably why, at the starting of this series, the Bruins had the slight edge because of all that came with it. And the Leafs hadn't done it. That's probably why.
They've never done it. Yeah. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. We'll look back on the weekend, but we're talking about tomorrow night, Game 7, and I think all the pressure's on the Maple Leafs. I don't think there's a ton of pressure on the Bruins. How do you feel about it?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure if we were sitting in Boston, we'd say, you know, that the Bruins are at home and they're supposed to win, and there's, you know, if they don't win, it'll be a disappointing year. And, you know, I guess what I'm saying is you can tailor it to whichever market you're in, because in particular, because these are two places that, you know, have different sets of expectations, but really the same expectation. In Boston, it's like, okay, we got a good team, and Bergeron's getting older, and Krejci's getting older, and Chara's already old, and man, we got to win. We got to win now. And then in Toronto, it's like, okay, we've been all season long, it's been a good team, great, it's a good team, but can we win the one game that we haven't been able to win over the last few seasons? And so I don't know that anybody really has less of a feel of pressure tomorrow. I mean, there'll be some guys that'll tell us that, oh, it's just another game and I'm just going in to play. And yeah, I know it's game seven, but you know, I'm not going to treat it any differently. And for anybody that's ever been in a game seven, they know that they're lying because it's not the same. I think the pressure is deep for both of them.
How difficult is it for a team, in this case, the Maple Leafs, to recover from such a missed opportunity like yesterday afternoon?
Oh, you know, I don't know, Brian. Like it seemed like it was all sitting there for them, and then when Riley scored, you know, it kind of had like, oh boy, like they can get another one here, and then they take two penalties, they can't kill it, and then it must have felt like they bobbled one away. You know, like it had to feel like that.
Ray, Blake Wheeler said after they gave up that Schwartz goal with 15 seconds left, the next game they lost, obviously, in St. Louis, and he came out and said, he goes, we couldn't recover from, like, we just, mentally, we were just down, and we couldn't recover from that. It just took all the energy out of us, and we couldn't get it back on track.
Well, that can be the case. I did that game, they had six shots after two periods.
Yeah.
So whatever they had, it was nothing. And so, like, they didn't have any gas. They didn't have, you know, I mean, they had one shot in the second period in a game that was 1-0. And then they had nothing. It was like it was a 1-0 game that felt like it was 10-0. So I know it would feel like a missed chance, don't you? We all must think that. But man, it's like game seven. Like, you got one chance to, you know, to erase all the crap from last year and all the stuff that was kicked around about this team this year, and then a chance to knock the Bruins out. It's almost like in Vancouver when they finally beat the Blackhawks, because the Blackhawks just kept using them as a doormat for years, and then finally Burrow scored in double overtime, and that was it. They were through. You know, that helped springboard them through to a Stanley Cup final thereafter, you know, pretty soon, next couple of years. This is what that game can be tomorrow for them, is that they can springboard themselves past not just
yay the first round, yay a game seven, but the Bruins, the team that has kind of kicked them around a little bit over the last couple of years. It's a great opportunity for them.
What have you made of John Tavares' play? I know he's had a matchup where it's Bergeron and Marchand, but overall, would you think he'd be the guy that needs to step up in a game seven?
Yeah, just okay, I think. Like, here's what I find, like, with those guys that are in those matchup things against, you know, a guy like Bergeron, he doesn't make many mistakes. So whether Bergeron's had a good series or not, he doesn't make many mistakes. So you end up playing to a standstill. And certainly Marner's not had the impact that he had over the course of the full series that he did last year. So, you know, he just kind of blend into everything. You know, he's not bad. I mean, it's not been that, but he hasn't been great. They haven't had a lot of chances. I guess what I don't see from them is they don't have that. They don't have the puck in the zone a lot where they get a chance and then they get it back and they get another chance and then Marner darts around and they get another chance. And maybe they don't score, but there hasn't been many of those.
Seems like it's a lot of get it and then a cycle and then maybe another cycle and then the cycle's broken up and it's out of the zone.
But a lot of that
is never at the net.
Yeah.
Right? Like it never gets to where they get really scary. And I don't know. I look at the Bruins defense and I'm like, man, I think you can break that defense down, but they haven't really been able to. Like there are times Chara looked like he's 42 and you're like, man, they got to be able to move him around a little bit. But he's just always seems to be just enough in the way still.
See, I think Marner's got more of an opportunity in that case than Tavares because
the matchup.
Well, yeah,
on that side.
Tavares
right?
He's not a burner. He's not overly, you know, he's really smart, but he's going to physically try to overcome that battle with Bergeron and then with Chara. Those are two waves that are very difficult to do that.
Right.
Let's say you get through Bergeron. Well, you got a 6'9" monster waiting for you.
He's got a 38-foot stick
waiting
that just pokes
for you.
Away things.
Marner's got the capability of he's what his craft is, and he does it better than most people in the league. He gets it and he finds the open ice. He'll slow it down and then he's got a cerebral vision to him where he's like, okay, I'm going to take two steps over here and then that gives me an extra 3 feet somehow.
Yeah.
I don't think he's been able to expose the Bruins or utilize his best assets the past couple of games.
But you know why I see that is because of the Bruins support. Like there's no open ice out there. He's looking for open ice, believe me, he wants open ice, but you start zoning in on Chara and all of a sudden Coyle's there or you know Bergeron or Krejci. Like the support they've had from their centermen down low I think it's been fantastic. And you know, I think the Leafs, when they won their games, how many times did we circle Austin Matthews? The game-winning goal the other day, Austin Matthews supports the play down low. He takes an extra half second to kick it wide to Johnsson. That creates speed. Johnsson throws it seam or across
Morgan
ice
Riley to Johnsson.
I'm sorry, yeah, sorry, Morgan Riley.
Yeah.
But that play was because of support. I think the Bruins have done a really good job of limiting time and space. When Chara does get in trouble, he's got help.
Well, but here, yes, he does. And like, I don't think any team's done it better than St. Louis and Winnipeg did for most of their series. There was because there was nowhere to go. I mean, aside from the teams were really evenly matched, they positionally were always right. Like, somebody'd make two passes, and then there's three more guys standing there. And you're like, where did he come from? And that's what it has seemed like at times for both teams. And, you know, we all sat on those panels at the start and we were picking our winners. And I think most of us had the Bruins, but most of us had them at seven games. And it's easy to pick the number. It's hard to predict what the road's going to be like to get to that number. And so it never seems to be one team dominates then the other, then the other, then the other. If you get to seven games, you're probably both the same. And so now you've got, if you think a third of the game tomorrow will be pretty even. Like, teams will be feeling themselves out. And then another third, somebody will have the advantage. And then that last third is going to be the one where it's decided. Who's going to make a big mistake that you can't recover from? And the big mistake might be you're down 1-0 and somebody burps up a puck and it's 2-0 and you never recover. But I think tomorrow will be... I would be stunned if it's not a really tight, close game. And not all game sevens are.
Yeah, agreed.
So closer to game five, that was it was very conservative. Like the 2-1 Leaf win on Friday night, it was incredibly conservative.
And it really was, but
exactly.
I think that works in the Leafs' favor.
That's what Babcock's promoting. Like that's what, you know, someone had the audacity to ask him today, do you think your team should start cheating a little bit and really going for it? And he's like, no, the complete opposite, but thanks for coming out.
Yeah.
Like he has no interest in a track meet. And I think, you know, we were talking about it, and this is a good segue into the Nylander line. The way that that line is built, because it's such a polarizing line for multiple reasons. You know, William Nylander and the year that he's had, Patrick Marleau, where he's at in his career. I think Babcock is effectively, he's asking them to saw off that matchup. He's not asking them to win it because he doesn't think they can on either end of the rink, because I think he's got Marleau and Brown with Nylander to protect him in the defensive end. And then in the offensive end, he knows it's basically going to be Nylander on an island, because Marleau and Brown just simply are not going to create on their own.
Right.
And that's, you talk about just basically not necessarily playing to the odds, but playing, coaching conservatively in a way. He's just like, I'm not going to sneak Ennis in for a shift here. I'm not going to sneak Marner on his right side with Nylander. He's just like, saw it off and get off the ice, keep it out of your own net, and I'll accept it at this point.
But you know what? In a game seven, like, which is now, of course, you know, win and go on or lose and go home, is if, say, the Tavares line starts and there's a run of play and they get through the lines a couple of times and you get to the 14:20 mark, for example, of the first period, and there's a whistle and Nylander's line's supposed to go out, you can put Marner on that wing because the next whistle is a commercial.
Right.
So you might be able to steal a shift or two or three where you get Marner out there with Nylander.
Wouldn't you say, Ray, like, just roll the three? I mean, that fourth line, I know Trevor Moore's got a goal, but just empty the tank on those three lines and see what happens.
Well, I'm not into... like, the conservative stuff I get, but I think there's a time you can be aggressive while not losing your mind.
Exactly.
Like I think there are times, there's no reason your big boy shouldn't be at 20-plus tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Just play them. Play them.
Nothing to save it for. Go.
Yeah, and what do you think Marchand's minutes are going to be tomorrow night?
Oh, he'll play 23 minutes tomorrow night.
Yeah, like, he's going to come back to the bench and... it, you know, and Cassidy's going to have his finger pointed back out on the ice. Turn around. Go back there. Like, you have to, right? Like, you just have to in a game like that.
They're the guys that are going to make the positive play for you. You can throw out your fourth line, but in my experience, they're going to chip in with the goal, but I think the majority of the times you talked about the guys that burp up a puck and you can't recover from it. If you play with fire, they can oftentimes be the guys that do it.
The other thing tomorrow is they better find a way to kill a penalty.
Well, no kidding.
What would you do there, Ray? Like, everyone's thrown out a million different ideas. I mean, yesterday, the first one is simply Zach Hyman cannot beat Patrice Bergeron.
Nobody could yesterday, but
Hyman fantastic. Definitely can. It's unfair to Hyman to expect him to do it. Like, Bergeron's
Ryan,
one of the
I've
all-time
said this all
greats.
Year. We've talked about this all year. They're asking a winger to do a center's job.
Right.
They've asked him to do it all year, and I think his numbers are right around, you know, are decent. They're around 50, but they're asking him, you go into the circle against one of the very best of the last 10 years in the face-off circle. You're going to lose.
Yeah.
You just are. They can't fix it now because that's the way their team is constructed. I did like how they're trying to keep the puck out of Bergeron's hands. Like, I like that. That's a starting point. The thing has to go there. So really, you have to decide where do you want the shot to come from. I don't want Pasternak to shoot it. I don't love Krug shooting it, but he's 60 feet away. I got some time to do some defensive work against that, but I don't want it into Bergeron's hands. It just gets too mucked up when it gets in there.
They're going to have that. Marcus Johansson, me and Jamie were watching. He had the puck
at the side of the net, and Ron Hainsey didn't even go after him.
He was like,
well, go do whatever you want with it. So they better watch out for that low play, because they're going to create a two-on-one in front of the net. He could have just taken it to the net, and Hainsey was just standing in front saying, do whatever you want.
Which, I mean, I guess it's the least of all the evils, technically, with what you have on that power play.
But he's a skilled enough guy where he can make
a play. And he's a left-handed shot on a strong side off the goal line. And as we all know, especially in a Game 7, it may be a moldy goal that gets it done. You fire it back door, and it hits a skate and goes in. It could be the same way on the Leafs' power play.
Well, they need to get rocking
there, too. That's true, but that's special teams are a difference in the playoffs. Ask Thomas Hertl. Guy scores in double overtime last night. A shorty.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, ultimately, it's going to be the storyline, but I think the Leafs have to find a way to have some desperation. It would help if you stay out of the box. As we talked about Ray before, fairly or unfairly, it's Trevor Moore and Travis Dermott who take the penalties last night. That's who we're circling. You know, if it's Austin Matthews, there's a little bit more leeway. When you're a little bit farther down in the lineup, the light shines a little bit brighter.
Absolutely.
On you.
Can't happen. Cannot happen.
It does, but it can't.
I know.
Like, it does happen, but it's like, you can't. You just can't. And you know, there's the maybe the best piece of advice I've heard about playing a big game is, don't try to be a hero, just try to be you. Don't try to play the best game you've ever played, just play your game. Right. Because if you have enough guys that play your game, like play their own game, you're probably going to be okay. But the harder you try to make the perfect play, or if you're a fourth line guy and you're going to race around and try and make an impact physically, and then you take a late, you know, you get a hit in there late and it's an elbow, and then you sit in the box for a goal, well, your impact is negative. And so for tomorrow, like those guys are going to be so excited. Like, these games are the best, man. They are just so fun to play. But I remember early in my career, and I played in three of them, like, couldn't sleep, couldn't focus, played the game in my head a million times, played crappy. By the time I got to my third one, I was like, I've done this before, and it felt way better. And so you got to find a way to slow down and just be yourself. That's really the best way forward if the guy can manage it. And maybe some can't.
Well, I always find that interesting that every athlete says the same thing. These are the games you live for. They're so much fun. But I can't imagine they're fun in the moment. Like, what's fun about not sleeping and about being a nervous wreck?
Yeah.
And, you know, it'd be fun afterwards, especially if you win.
Once you get out of the ice, though, it's all gone. That's the fun element of it. It's everything leading up to that's not fun.
I agree, Ray. This is one of the things I said earlier. It's amazing once the puck drops. Getting up to that puck drop is it's a little scary. It is scary. That's the thing. But you have to play scared. You have to play inside your head a little bit. There are other guys, I don't know how many guys you played with, Ray, but I'm sure we can name a few, that had amazing sleeps, like no stress in their lives whatsoever, and they're usually the top-end players that just kind of show up and know what to do. I've told this story before. Grant Fear, before the game 7 in Phoenix one night, just stands up and goes, guys, get me a goal. We'll be fine here. Like, we're all looking at him like, what the hell's this guy? Where'd this guy come from? He doesn't say a word, and then pitches a shutout that night. Like, it's amazing some of the guys have the ability at the most pressure situation to have that, was it for the love of the game, clear the mechanism?
Yeah.
Like, just...
Don't you think it's easier, though, when you've got your rings already?
Oh, for sure.
Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Fears, he's been there and done it on so many levels.
He's already won so many cups. And that's not to say he didn't want to win.
No, but...
But if he didn't win, he's still got his cups.
Exactly. You know, like,
if Tiger doubles on 18, he's still got four jackets.
Yeah, that's fair. Know? That's like, fair. You're right.
It seems a little bit easier when you've already got the hardware. With Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. Quickly on the other Canadian teams that went out over the weekend, the Jets and the Flames. Better chance at redemption in a deep run next spring, Calgary or Winnipeg?
I'm going to say Winnipeg with a qualifier. They've got 14 guys that are free agents, either restricted or unrestricted. They've got some salary cap issues. They're going to have to decide between some players. But I'm going to take them because I think they've got, you know, their core of their team, which will be back, is still very good. So, like, their defense is going to look different. You know, like, is Trouba going to be back? Is Myers going to be back? Is Sherratt going to be back? That's three of their top six guys. They're not going to be able to afford all three. Are they going to trade Trouba? Are they going to sign Myers? Can they afford Sherratt, who might price himself out of the mix? So, like, that's on the back end. Up front, you got Ehlers and Laine. You got a you've got Connor and Laine that you have to deal with. Kevin Hayes isn't going to be back. He was a disappointment for them. And then you've got Ehlers, who hasn't scored a goal in 21 playoff games. Like, eventually you're going to have to make a decision on him. So I think the Jets are going to look very different, but I still think that they're going to be a very good team. Calgary, on the other hand, they don't have a goalie signed. You can't really think that Mike Smith is going to play like he did for most of this series next year. He's going to be a year older. I mean, I guess you can think it, but it would be a bad bet in my view. Can Mark Giordano at age 36 do what he did at age 35? He's probably going to step back a little bit. I don't know. They're just Calgary concerned me because they had an issue with the speed of Calgary or of Colorado, and if they don't change that, then they're not going to be able to beat up on a Pacific division that isn't very good like they did this year.
Right.
You know, they put a lot of points in the bank against LA and Anaheim, and those guys couldn't beat anybody.
And I think also the narrative around there, fairly or unfairly, is the top line in a couple playoffs here hasn't produced. Like Johnny Gaudreau,
Johnny Gaudreau and Monahan, they
have targets on them right now because, you know, we talked about Auston Matthews coming into this playoff,
that's
right?
That's what comes with the territory.
And you have to elevate. And when you get paid a lot of money and you're fantastic in the regular season and then you're not dominant in the playoffs, you're not shining a light on the fourth line. Like Derek Ryan's not taking the hit today in Calgary. It's the big boys.
As it should be.
He missed three breakaways.
You're right.
He almost killed himself on the post.
I know.
Yeah. One of them. Like what that is the personification of a guy who's so rattled and can't get out of his way.
Yeah.
Like you talk about a guy with all the pressure in the world on him and he knows it. How many, like, that never happens. Fourth line plugs don't run into the post on a breakaway.
Well, the net's been anchored in the same spot for 150 years. Not like it's a surprise.
Not his first rodeo. Like that, right when you saw that, you're like, this guy can't get out of it. He can't get out of the way of the net, let alone his own way.
Missed the net on, like just a wrister that missed the net on a penalty shot.
Ugly. Yeah. Well, we'll see. All right, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow and tee up game 7.
Yeah, I'm actually on my way in a couple hours going down to San Jose to do Vegas and San Jose's game 7 with Gord. So we're pretty excited about that. And we're
when did you find that out?
Drop in and do that.
When did you find that out?
This morning.
Yeah, I saw on Gord's Twitter feed. So,
well, is Gord hooking
he said
up
you guys are not done yet. That's
there
what
you
it
go.
Was.
Wow. The dynamic
so found out this morning, and I was like, I got some games to watch.
That building will be rocking. Like San Jose dodged a bullet last night.
Yeah.
Marty Jones was ridiculous, but
hey,
play of that game was in overtime when Englund was lying on his back.
Yeah.
Spread Snow eagle, angel. Trying to keep the like. I don't think I've ever really seen it like that.
Yeah.
Like and then all of a sudden the puck was like somewhere else.
And Merrill, wasn't Merrill there too?
Oh yeah, right on top of him.
They pulled it right off the goal line.
I don't know much about goaltending, but if both of your defensemen are behind the goalie, that's probably not a good place to be.
Nope.
All right, well, two game sevens tomorrow night. We'll tee up at 5 p.m.
We'll talk to you
time.
From California, boys.
There
have
you
a
go.
Good one.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are back. Purchase any new vehicle and get a $500 gift certificate to Appliance Canada, plus get rates from 0%. Visit MapleToyota.com. The Norris candidates were announced over the weekend. We'll get into that in the 6 p.m. hour. Our buddy Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, will join us at 6:30. We're on Vladdy Watch. It's officially on this week. Aaron Sanchez, another fingernail issue.
What about the
shoemaker is done for the
not
year.
Not looking good.
No. Although they're winning a ton of games. They've won, what, 6 of their last 7 games?
7 of 8, I believe.
Yeah, they're on fire. Their bats are on fire. They take 3 or 4 out of Mini and they sweep Oakland. I mean, they're rolling at this point. And they're back home, the Jays, tomorrow night with the Giants. Kevin Pillar making a quick return to Toronto tomorrow night. So we'll get into that in the 6 p.m. hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Tomorrow is a Tuesday.
old hook nose Fergie will be in the press box. I think we need a confirm or deny.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
You thinking?
Well, we can probably put something together. I thought we made a commitment to, before each round, we would bring out a new confirm or deny.
Is this a special circumstance, though?
Is it exclusively Leafs Bruins, or do we mix in any other material?
Anything.
Well, what about the Raps?
Well, yeah.
You just bring in confirm or deny, it means Boston loses tomorrow.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
All right, we'll bring up a confirm or deny. We'll mix in a Raptors game 5 tomorrow night.
Why not?
When is Vladdy coming up? Is he here playing by the end of the weekend? It sure seems like that's a foregone conclusion. How about Friday or something?
Will Vladdy be back?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
Push it to the end of the week so that you know what's happening with the Raptors and the Leafs.
Like, Bob Nightingale from USA Today, he's an insider and he's connected, but he's batting like 250 on scoops. You look over this guy's history, he swings and misses like Serrano when
that's all right, though.
Off-speed pitches are thrown his way.
When you're confident, but...
I know, but he caused a stir today. Like, he sends out a couple of tweets. The first ones are like, get ready, Vladdy's coming up. And then he's like, but not tomorrow. Like, he's not coming up tomorrow. It's like,
well, thanks, Tips. Like, yeah. No, everybody no knows kidding. He's coming up.
Like, you are not allowed exclusivity over that scoop.
Yeah.
I don't care who ends up with it first, quote unquote.
Get it right.
No, but it's not even about that. We all know he's coming up.
Yeah.
We all know he's coming up at some point this week. He's not going to play tomorrow night. Our boy Scotty Mitchell broke that last week and confirmed it. He's not playing tomorrow night, nor should he play. We talked about it last week. Leafs Bruins game 7, Raptors Magic game 5. Why would you bring up this guy and not have the whole landscape all to yourself?
Right.
Thursday or Wednesday's an afternoon game. So I don't know. Maybe he plays on Wednesday, maybe. But let's say he doesn't play against the Giants. He's playing later in the week.
Right.
Like, he is playing at some point this week. So if it's not the next two games against San Francisco, it'll be the next game. So, you know, yeah, Joe Blow in his basement can tweet out, oh, hearing Vladdy's coming up. Yeah, we know, dude.
Like, you should do a social experiment. You should write it, hearing Vladdy's coming
up. Maybe I will do that.
But then the problem is you're going to get, like, not everyone listens to the show, so that people are going to attack you.
Right.
But you could just write out there, I'm hearing Vladdy is going to make his debut.
Hearing it's going to happen. Like, if I tweeted that out right now, because they got the Giants Tuesday, Wednesday, and then they got an off day on Thursday, and they've got a 3-game series against Oakland. If I were to tweet out right now, hearing Vladdy is going to make his debut Friday night at the Rogers Center against Oakland, that feels like it's a pretty good bet.
That's a 50-50 for sure.
I think it's at least a 50-50. But I'm not getting that from a source.
No, but what you should say...
I'm sending it out into the universe.
What you should say is, hearing Vladdy will be with the Blue Jays by Wednesday next week.
Right. There's a way to cover all your corners.
And it's just a blanket statement.
Yeah.
And people are going to write you back saying, no, you know what, Sherlock.
Mm-hmm. But that's what's happening. That's basically what Bob Nightingale said. Just a matter of time. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, pal. We know that.
Now,
if you reported that Bo Bichette is coming up.
Yeah, that's
different. That's a scoop. Bo Bichette is carving up AAA. It was just the player of the week, I believe, in AAA. Get them all up here.
Wednesday.
Yeah, who cares about service time? The game is changing now. We've seen it. You know, in the past month and a half, all these young guys are signing long-term deals. They're not waiting until arbitration.
I just would kind of like you to do it just for a social experiment.
Right.
I don't want you to do it.
But I'm going to be the guy that gets roasted.
And then, yes.
Why bother? You're just... Scott,
all you're going to do is put yourself in a bad spot.
Right. And then I'm sewering our own guys and guys that are...
Exactly.
Like, Scotty Mitchell has journalistic integrity.
Okay, but when
I don't want to be like, hey, Scott, you better retweet my scoop there.
When we talk to him, we can ask him what would be a safe tweet to put out there, and he could give us his professional opinion.
We'll do that at 6:30.
Because that would be... Remember Josh Lundberg not that long ago said he broke it, that news that Kawhi is...
They're feeling confident in Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They probably
are. Windhorst took just a sky dump on that.
Yeah, but Brian Windhorst doesn't know any more than Josh Leuenberg does.
Nobody does.
And Josh Leuenberg's source, I guarantee you,
Josh is
more credible.
The muck
he's
here.
He's in the grind every day.
Windhorst is connected, but Windhorst is connected from above.
From the league standpoint.
Like, Leuenberg is in the muck with this team. He was in Orlando the past three or four days.
He 100%, he doesn't run with that. He doesn't pull that out of the sky.
No.
Somebody within the organization has said, and all he did is put it out there. They feel very good about how they've approached things with Kawhi. They're right. They pretty much have done everything to make this guy stay in Toronto.
The thing is about both those reports, the Josh Leuenberg report,
right,
where he reported about a month ago that the Raptors are feeling increasingly confident that they can keep Kawhi, and the Brian Windhorst report from a week ago where he said people throughout the league are saying,
right,
neither of them go to the source. Kawhi Leonard,
right,
the guy who actually has to sign or leave. So, you know, they're both right. They both can be right.
Right.
The Raptors can feel very confident. That's what Kawhi, that's what Josh was reporting, and I will take that to the bank.
Right.
Masai, Bobby Webster, Nick Nurse, they feel confident that they have done enough to make this guy feel comfortable, feel welcomed, wanted, put him in a position to succeed, surrounded him with players that can help him, you know, on his pursuit for more rings.
Right.
That's great. You can feel confident all day.
But
doesn't mean anything.
If he makes the decision, I'm heading out west.
Exactly. And Brian Windhorst, everyone around the league can say, oh, I think he's leaving. But then when he stays in Toronto, they're like, no, okay. I don't know. I thought he was leaving.
Props, because I generally think that you think he is staying. Or is that a hope?
I've always thought it was a 50-50. Like, Paul George stayed in Oklahoma City. Now, I know it's not apples to apples, because every person is different and everyone has a different approach. That guy, Paul George, was from L.A. and grew up a diehard Lakers fan. And he didn't even give them a meeting. He just said, no, not happening.
He saw something.
He stayed in Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Like, playing second fiddle to one of the most selfish players in the league. And he's like, yeah, I'll sign that and I'll stay.
So he had his reasons,
I guess. I mean, he had a great year, but...
How about Nick Nurse almost breaking the internet with that meme last night?
Wasn't that outstanding? The Nick Nurse face.
Now, for context, I was trying to figure out how it was a great play, or was it a turnover?
No, it was a horrible call. They called 3 seconds in the key, which they never call in the NBA.
Okay, yeah.
So the Raptors got clipped for 3 seconds in the key.
That's an old school call. 3 seconds in the key.
That's like Jerry West used to get called.
When I played in junior high and high school, I always got clipped for 3 in the key.
Because you just never move.
Stand there like an idiot.
Yeah. Like, if you have no self-awareness.
No, you forget.
And I'm not saying that it doesn't it does happen in the NBA. If you focus on, generally it's bigs.
Yeah.
But, you know, usually they got the presence of mind. They tap their foot out, they get back into the key. But it rarely gets called.
Yeah, it's one of,
rarely gets called.
In the NBA, traveling is very.
Oh, it's totally let go.
It's kind of just, they're very lenient on it.
Very lenient.
So
very
that's what
rarely.
It was, a 3 in the key.
In the key on Fred VanVleet,
and that's what the reaction was.
He had his mouth open and just aghast to the idea.
Are you kidding me? You're making that call.
I'm pretty sure it was a 12-second face. The Nick Nurse face lasted 12 seconds.
It was awesome because obviously Bar Down put some music to it, and there was TNT.
Right.
I mean, it was awesome.
When do we each do that face? When do we do the Nick Nurse face? You do Nick Nurse face when a phone breaks down.
You do Nick Nurse face when you hear that John Ferguson Jr. is in consideration for a GM job.
I just did it.
Noodles? Yeah. We got to think of
Here's
noodles.
A list of candidates for the upcoming GM, vacant GM position, and then I see John Ferguson Jr.
I think I do it. When I hear it's Friday afternoon and we've got Zaw coming in.
Yeah, but that's a happy... You're happy about that. Oh, Nick Nurse was like, not happy.
You Scrabble do it, shock you do it when and awe Gino Retta wants to lead off with Kadri's cat.
When I get that note from Dan Salem
We're going to talk about Kadri's cat.
That's true. You know what's funny? Like, 4 Canadian teams will have played and the Leafs have had a week off. And I'll get the chat.
No, Ovechkin will score 9 goals in a game. Let's do Kadri's cat off the top.
Freddie the goat broke a pane in practice today. We're going to have to get your take on that.
Watch. Remember Freddie the goat slap. Freddie the goat had an opportunity yesterday.
Down the wall.
He hooked it in the corner.
He didn't miss by much, though. He missed enough, though. Like, it was enough.
We were over the
He hooked
angle.
A wrist shot yeah. into the corner.
Yeah, he put that into the trees. He should have yelled four.
He could have had GOAT status if he puts that under the bar.
Oh, dude.
Because he didn't even give his twig a flex. It wasn't phased. Didn't look at the blade, the loft, the flex.
He missed that. Like, it was
he's okay, so we were
it
over top of it. So I couldn't tell.
And flinged in the corner.
I couldn't tell how much he missed it by as far as over top. Because we were over top of him as he made that play. Like, we were looking down on it.
He missed it by a fair. It was on an angle where it wasn't
yeah,
even close.
It was kind of a tough angle.
Yeah.
But anyway. At least he fired it and tried. Imagine if he cycled it.
Like, just dumped chip it in and the chase, corn, go for a change. Chase.
Yeah.
Dave Pullen will join us in studio at 6. Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, at 6:30. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm a cybernetic organism, living tissue over a metal endoskeleton.
Part man, part machine.
The Overdrive Man of Steel.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, I'm the man.
All right, the Man of Steel is brought to you by Steel, a quality product built to last, priced to sell.
I'm going to go with Brandon Carlo. He's the real deal, this kid. He's a good defenseman. I know he's been talked about not a whole bunch, but he's real good. He's a Man of Steel.
Mine is Martin Jones. This guy's been kicked in the junk all season long by his own doing because he hasn't played well. And even early in the playoffs, like San Jose looked like they were going to be done in five. He's been rock solid the last two games. He's the reason why they're going to a game seven. Can he hold up? I don't know. But 58 saves, that was a Sharks record last night.
Kawhi Leonard, big time shout out.
There you go.
Unbelievable game yesterday. The Raptors, I mean, domination. Thomas Hurdle, though, called the shot, said we're coming back for a game
seven.
Yeah, he did.
I'm going to give my boy Norm Powell some Man of Steel love.
He's played really well. Playoff Norm has shown up.
There you go.
He's a part of the rotation.
He's got the t-shirt cooking.
Yeah.
I love it.
OG Anunoby's out, you know, like he's, and I don't think he's coming back anytime soon. They needed Norman Powell to step up. He supplied them with quality production. It's only going to get more difficult, right? Like Orlando.
Right.
They gave him a test in game one, then the Raptors snapped out of it.
They're
and
not
hasn't
the
been close.
Formidable opponent that you're looking forward to.
By the weekend when Philly's in town, and then it's either Milwaukee or Boston, now we're cooking.
Yeah.
But, Hurdle. On the penalty kill in double overtime.
Yeah.
And it was a muffin. Like,
it was.
Fleury should have had that.
Yeah, there was a big argument. We'll talk about it off air from the goaltenders that it changed trajectory and all that. But you need to make that save. He was cheating towards glove. It ends up being blocker. And plus, you're sitting there. He had 29 shots against in double overtime where Jones had 60 total. So that's tough. But you know what? He needs to make that save in overtime. You need to make that save every day.
Yeah. And now you're going seven.
Yeah.
So tomorrow night you got back-to-back game sevens. And I guess we could have more because you got game six tonight, Carolina looking to survive against Washington.
Yeah.
And Nashville on the ropes.
Yeah.
In Dallas. Like, Dallas is in the same position the Maple Leafs were in yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, we'll see what Nashville's made of. You know, they haven't played up to their potential.
No, they haven't looked... Like, Dallas smoked them over the weekend.
Yeah. Dallas played well. They deserve to win. Ben Bishop's been rock solid, and... Bishop's had a great season. He's a Vezina finalist.
My Are you surprised concern, by that?
Yes.
Like, how many starts did he have? 46 or
46.
Something?
46. Both of those guys. Vasilevsky's going to win it, so it doesn't matter. They could have had Owen and Mia as the other two. But Leonard deserved statistically to be there, but he didn't play enough. Grice played the same amount. Same thing with Ben Bishop. Had 46 starts. Hudobin, I think, had 37 starts. So I thought Darcy Kemper kind of got jobbed on that one. He was fantastic for Arizona. He wasn't even supposed to be their starter and play 55 games. And he got jobbed. But listen, Vasilevsky's going to win it.
Vasilevsky's probably going to win it anyway.
Yeah.
We'll get into that more. We'll get into the Norris candidates as
Morgan Riley deserved to be nominated for the Norris. That's not pro Toronto. That's not former Leaf. That's just, it should have been Burns, Giordano, and Morgan Riley.
Yeah. I agree with you. Hedman's so great, but he missed 12 games, and even without him, they still win 60 games.
Yeah.
You know, like he's a great, great player, but we'll get into that more in the next hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4.